Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
It is a Texans Monday, if you want to call it that. Sure, there was a giant NFL weekend, but I know some of you, when your team isn't playing, it may be stress-free, but at some point, you want to watch your team play. So the Texans will get going tonight against the Cowboys, and I'll give you some updates on the injury situation. You're going to have some guys who will play, and you get excited about that. Other guys who won't be around, which is unfortunate. Injuries that are lingering that are a little concerning, so we'll get to that. But the game itself should be one where there should not be a lot of concern. At least I don't believe there should be in that fourth quarter. The Cowboys are bad. They're awful at home. Maybe this is, hey, everybody's against us. We got one more in us. I don't think the Cowboys are built that way. I think the Cowboys are willing to roll over if you take advantage of some of their issues early. And the Texans have their own, but they're not unique when it comes to the NFL. You look across the league, particularly after watching the games yesterday, you think to yourself, if we could just get a little bit better, all that talk about potentially being a Super Bowl contender, we could be right back in that mode. The Chiefs go into Buffalo and lose, which, you know what? The Chiefs losing at Buffalo and the Chiefs just losing the regular season to the Bills means little to me. We all know how that thing goes when it matters. So until the Bills prove otherwise, I just yawn at that loss. You had them at home last year in the playoffs and you lost. And you built your team, obviously, to beat them, and you hoped playing at home was going to be a difference last year. It wasn't. So good win for the Bills. The Chiefs are now no longer undefeated, and the race for the one seed in the AFC tightens up. But what it means, they were bound to lose. They should have lost the week before the Broncos. The Bills get them. And I leave it at that. I don't think it's a statement. I don't think it matters. When you're playing the two-time defending champions, beating them is one they're just going to, after losing, you know, going into the game, they're like, hey, we want to beat the Bills. We want to continue to stay undefeated. But once they lose, it's like, okay. They push it aside and go, we got things to work on. Hell, even Patrick Mahomes after the game said, we're going to use it as fuel. And sometimes you kind of need that after you win so much. You just need something to get you motivated. And now the talk will be, are the Bills really the best team in the AFC? I'm sure the Chiefs will relish that. But can the Texans get there? What they do over the next couple weeks can only build a foundation for, at least in my eyes. The Jags are awful. We saw that. We saw the difference between the Texans and the Jags in back-to-back weeks. What happened to the Jags in Detroit compared to what happened here on Sunday night last week? They're on the schedule coming up. Obviously, the Cowboys tonight, and the Titans are there too. So, what can you prove in these next three? That you found a way to fix your issues? Maybe not, because I don't think the Texans are going to be facing teams who can really highlight their problems. The Cowboys are bad defensively. There is Micah Parsons to deal with, so that'll be a challenge for that front five for the Texans. But otherwise, I won't call them scrimmages because that's insulting to the NFL. and the teams they're playing. But these are games where I call them get-right games. You should not be bothered. You should not be challenged by any of these teams, and it starts tonight. Can you go out there and play solid football for four quarters? Score a touchdown in the second half? I try to think about my goals for this team. Score a touchdown in the second half. It could be you could win this game 30-13, 27-10, whatever it is. Obviously, for some of you, covering is most important. But score a touchdown. Get there. And if you want to be special, score two. They have struggled immensely in the second half of ball games, and that's been chronicled. Bobby Slowick caught those questions on Friday. We talked about it going into his availability. Sean and I discussed, by the way, Sean's not here. If you're watching it on the stream, AJ is here. If you don't know who that is, that's AJ. He generally shows up for nighttime shows. He might be here on the weekend. He has been the person in the back. If you're watching us on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter, he's been the guy sitting back there for the last couple of days. You're like wondering, why does Sean have a new friend? I mean, I don't know if they're friends, but AJ was getting some work in, and AJ's here. Welcome, AJ. What's up, man?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, me and Sean, we're pretty cool. Yeah.
I can take or leave Sean, to be honest, if I was playing. Sean, as you say, you said you're pretty cool. I like working with Sean, and AJ's here for today. Sean will be back. He's on vacation for a day, but AJ was here, and he's done this producing thing before. He's never done it on this show, so that's why you might have seen him the last couple of days trying to figure things out. There's not a lot you have to worry about, AJ. There's like one thing you have to play at the end of the show.
Okay, bet.
And that's about it. I don't know if we want to make this a get to know AJ segment, but we can do it later. We don't know who he roots for, what his agenda is when it comes to his teams. Is he bring Giannis in? Because we'll get to that. Hold it. I know you're about to jump in, but hold it. Giannis is allegedly someone the Rockets are interested in. Surprisingly, the Rockets are interested in one of the top five players of basketball. It's not really a report, and I do this thing with Sean sometimes, AJ, so I'll put it to you later. Is this a thing? This is the question. I'm going to read the report from Mark Stein, and you can tell me if it's just a lot of babble or is it actually a real thing, because telling me that the Rockets, who are always looking to trade for a star, at least this version of them in the last 6 or 7 months, are interested in Giannis isn't really news to me. I think if you poll the entire league, there may be one team, two, aren't, because they can't, because of second apron stuff. But everyone is interested in Giannis. And the way that Bucks have started, they've been bad. I blame a lot of that on Doc Rivers, because it's fun just to blame Doc. But I'm not surprised that the Rockets are in on a star, a superstar in this case. And then I will think, I need you to think about it, because I'm going to ask you, how much are you willing to give up? Let's say this is real. And the Bucks are like, you know what? Giannis has hinted for months now that he ain't happy here. We're going to make a move to get younger and start over, which I imagine a Dame trade would follow at some point. I'm going to ask you, I'll ask you guys to consider, how much are you willing to give up for Giannis Antetokounmpo? 29 years old, still averaging over 30 points. Is a double-double guy, obviously. Triple-double threat. Defender. All the things you know about Giannis. Champion. Fits the profile for the Rockets. But I will tell you, according to report, he's not their dream. There is they want to get older, much older. So we'll get to that too. So AJ, be ready. I don't need you to be Stephen A and have an outlandish take, but just be ready to answer the question. We'll get to that at some point. But it is, as I said, Texans Monday, and they got a bad team to put away. And that's all you're looking for. Put the Cowboys away early. Don't have CJ running for his life. Handle Michael Parsons to a normal extent. You probably aren't going to shut him down, but don't let him be a game wrecker. He's the only one they have on that side of the ball, and the only star player beyond CeeDee Lamb really on the team. Find a way to handle him. Don't throw the ball right at Diggs, and I think you'll be fine. This should be a comfortable Texans win. The line says it should be. You're that big of a favorite on the road. You should beat up on the Cowboys. We'll see if the Texans can do that. We'll get into more of that. I'll give you some of the guys who will be available and won't be available when we come back. But first, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is new to the station, but they're not new to the city. They've been around for 50 years doing a great job selling great cars to the community. They're entrenched in that community. They sponsor the local youth teams. They're all about helping you guys out. And they're located in Pasadena. They are at 3940 Pasadena Freeway off Beltway 8 and 225. So if you go out there and check out what they have, just remember, there are no hidden fees, no upcharges. The price they tell you is the actual price. You're not going to get in deep into the deal and go, oh, it's going to cost this much. That doesn't happen there. They have quality pre-owned cars as well. So if you're not looking for something new, but you want something reliable and good, that's out there for you too. If you're a business owner and you want to add to your fleet, they have the sixth largest fleet dealership in the country. So whether it be pre-owned, fleet vehicles, or maybe you need some service done, they're out there for you. And they want to be on a first-name basis with you. I met Jeff and Chris out there now 2 weeks ago now, and I found out all they're about. And I found out that they have a belt, a salesperson of the week belt that they give out to the person who's doing the best. And the current salesperson of the week is Jonathan Guajardo. So if you go out there and check him out, he's going to be out there maybe walking around with the belt. Ask Jonathan, let me see the belt. That's what they're competing for, your business, and to make it as easy and as quick as possible. They understand it's a dealership. You don't want to be out there for long. They're going to sell you a car, get you in that car, and get you out as quickly as possible. Remember, they have a great deal going on right now at Monument Chevrolet. It's the 1.9 financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3 liter engine. Or you can choose an all-new vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. Check out the website, monumentchevrolet.com, or go out there in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And remember, Chevy, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea and his intrepid, most outstanding, arguably the greatest producer of all time, the one and only Sean Mapes.
So great he takes a Monday off. So Sean Mapes isn't here today. AJ is filling in. And apparently Sam at some point will be filling in too. So she will be, AJ did a lot of shadowing last week. Sam will be shadowing AJ. I walked by the door and heard that conversation. So Sean getting some time in, some breaks in, I guess. Sean Mapes, very busy, apparently. Let's get to Eric. He wants to talk some NBA. And that'll lead into this report from Mark Stein. But first, let's talk to Eric. What's up, Eric? Did Sean not tell you to put the phones up? Or is it not going through? I can't hear AJ at all. So we're trying to get Eric on. Eric, don't go anywhere. Hold on. For some reason, the phones aren't working. We'll try to get you in when we come back. Or right here shortly. Let's see if we can get you on. There it is. Eric, what's up?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
Oh, what's up? Hey, Ganton. Don't know. I said Irv, man. Not Eric.
Oh, Irv. Okay. Yeah, it's Lorazzo. What's up, man?
Oh, what's up, Dovecito? Hey, so look, man, I just have the dumb button just in case, because I don't know if you can say this, but you know where I'm going with the LaMelo thing, right?
I asked that you not say it. Yes, I know where you're going. 100K, okay. He got a fine.
So 100K just to say no? I would have said no Diddy, bro. Come on, but you find 100K just for that?
You remember that campaign? They had the ad, all these NBA stars, when they said you could no longer use gay. It wasn't cool to use gay as a derogatory term. Like, you can't use gay as in place of stupid when you say something.
But
this is
he
in line with that.
Like, as a bad term, like, it was like an instinct, no Diddy. He just said it like, oh, we're loaded up, no Diddy. Like, it was just in the moment thing, man.
I'm not, look, 100K is a lot. Apparently LaMelo wasn't bothered by it because on his Instagram story, he wrote the same phrase again. The NBA doesn't, they are image conscious, and they would ask that one of their better players not make that reference. Look, 100K seems like a lot for that, using that word in that way, but that's what they're about. They don't want it. And he caught 100K for it. If you don't know, it rhymes with Cuomo. That's what he said. But it's instead of no Diddy. And he got popped for 100K for it. Look, LaMelo. No, not everything. He said loaded up and he said, oh, I don't want that to sound gay, so I'm going to drop that. We're all old enough to not be bothered by
it. But then, so would it be worse to say no gay?
It would be fine for them. the NBA's eyes for him to say load it up and then not pretend like we're all 14 and think, oh, he's talking about something else. No, that's what they want. Be an adult when you're doing an interview. Like, no, like, I know maybe you do that in the locker room with your boys, I guess, yeah. But it's in front of the TV cameras. Just say, hey, we're loaded up to stop something or whatever. And no one's going, oh, he that's a gay reference. Let's make fun of him. So, you know, the reporter wasn't going to do it. He just decided, yeah, to, hey, I swear I'm not gay, even though I said loaded up. All right, well, Mello, we get it. Thank you.
All right. Hey, shout out to my boy Luke and Pittsburgh and my homie, the youth pastor.
These are references from the morning show, if you don't know. Luke is a tight end from Pittsburgh State who has a name that's going to be trouble if he ever becomes a star. And then there's a youth pastor who he used the term daddy in a prayer. Not father, not God, daddy is what he said. And that's what LaRoss is talking about. All right, that had little to do with what I was going to talk about, so we'll get to it here. Let's move on. AJ, you'll learn. This show. You just have to get past some things, and that was one of those things. You try to address what he's talking about in a way that doesn't get you in trouble and in a serious way and have a conversation, but then you just move on.
Yeah, for sure.
There's nothing else you can do. All right, Mark Stein. He is a longtime NBA reporter. This is from the Stein Line. Well, you can find it at the Stein Line. That's his Twitter account, but he has like a Substack thing I think you have to pay for to find it. This is an excerpt from it. This has been interpreted in some corners of the league, as noted in a recent Sunday notebook, as a strategy designed to give the Rockets more time to see if a dream trade target, Kevin Durant, were to become available down the road. So this is talking about the players on the roster and seeing if at some point Kevin Durant would be a guy who could shake loose from Phoenix. But a name that's also mentioned is Giannis. So that's a down-the-road conversation. They're monitoring it. Houston and their pursuit of Giannis. This is coming from people around the league think the Rockets would be in on him, which, as I said in the first segment, no, of course. Anyone who thinks they can get in on Giannis and are told that he's available will try to get in on him. So it isn't a question of whether this report makes sense. It does. The question is whether the Rockets are willing to give up what it takes, because it has to hurt. If the Bucks are trading their franchise piece, if it gets to that where they realize they'd be better off trading him because he doesn't want to be there anymore, they're going to take everything, or at least try to take everything you have that they deem viable to their future success. So, I know the easy one. Hey, look, give him Jalen Green. Why would the Bucks want to take a high volume, non efficient shooter? Well, the answer would be he's only 22 years old, and you think at some point you can mold him into a star player, one of those Ant Edwards Lee guards who can get to the bucket anytime he wants, can be maybe not a knockdown 3-point shooter, but because of the difficulty of the way he's taking his shots off the dribble, the step backs, that him being at 36-37% is good enough considering what he can do going to the basket. This is a guy you want him to develop into, and Jalen Green has the athletic ability when he wants to be a guy who can get after guys on the defensive end like Ant will do when he wants to. It doesn't happen all the time for Ant Edwards, just like it probably wouldn't happen all the time with Jalen Green. But the talent is there to do it. So if you're looking for a potential two-way guard, future star, future lead guard of a franchise, Jalen Green would be someone to consider. That's the upside. The downside is what we've seen, the streaky shooting, the inability to be efficient, the concert dates he puts up, which have been done on a consistent basis for the most part during his career, except for the month of March last year, where he was probably one of the 10 best players in basketball the way he was playing. So you have the downside and the upside. But realistically, what would the Bucks be asking for? It'd be the likes of Alperen Sengun. They probably started with Alperen, and that might be where you draw the line and say no. But as I said, it would have to hurt. So you're talking about Alperen. You're probably talking about one of Tari or Amen Thompson. AJ in there shaking his head. I'm telling you. And if it can't happen until after the new year because they just agreed to new deals, Jalen and Alperen, but it could be done before the trade deadline, I believe. And if not, like I said, it will be something that's monitored going forward, even into the offseason. Of course, the Rockets have a full season, and don't know how high they'll reach. By the way, Rockets on a hot streak, beat up the Bulls in Chicago, now in third place in the West. So that's the other thing. You may really like your young team, and you're not willing to give up all it would take to get Giannis here. But I'm not even done with what it might take. Beyond maybe some more filler, I'm sure the Bucks will want to offload someone else. You're talking about maybe a pick or two. So while I got to Amen or Tari, and AJ was already shaking his head when I topped Şengün off with those guys. All right, AJ, since you've shaken your head about this, the question is posed to you and any other Rocket fan. You want to get in 713-780-3776. How much are you willing to give up for a 29-year-old superstar who is a franchise changer? And if I say it starts with Şengün and it starts with one of Amen or Tari, are you already out?
Well, man, it's tough because you definitely want to try to keep Tari or Amen Thompson. But out of those two, you have to include Şengün. I think that's without question.
Yeah.
I think maybe Amen, just because he has, I feel like he has some more offensive upside, in my opinion, especially as a playmaker. He can even play a point guard position a little bit too, but defensively, he's really good. So obviously, Tari is as well. But out of those two, offensively, Amen has more offensive potential, but it's just going to hurt regardless, like you said. And they're going to have to include two picks, maybe even three picks potentially, because that's Giannis. We can make the case that he's the greatest Buck of all time too, though. So if they trade him,
you're trading a franchise, not just the franchise player, but like the historically.
Right.
The one who brought you a title, the one who's already signed an extension, who's told you he's willing to stay, if he wanted out at 29 or 30 years old, whenever the deal is done. So you, Şengün starts it, I think, for the Bucks. We got to think about it from the Bucks side. Starts it with the Bucks, and you throw in which one would you rather have, Amen or Tari? To be clear,
I would rather keep Amen.
So you okay? If you get your way and you throw Tari in, and let's say the Bucks are like, we don't want your high volume shooter in Jalen, we don't want Dylan Brooks here. We want to get young, and we have two pieces that we think can help us in the future. If they say plus two first rounders, are you good, or are you saying that now we're talking too much in it? Because as I said, it has to hurt.
Yeah, I think you have to, because there was so much draft capital from that James Harden trade, and then also I believe they got a first round pick from the Phoenix Suns too, or something like that. So if you want Giannis that bad, you already know that you're gonna have to probably give up some first round draft capital too. But you're giving that up for potentially being able to contend now in the next 2-3 years as well with Giannis in his prime.
Yeah,
too,
I would say if you only had to give up two of your really good young players and even 2-3 picks, that they say you're getting off light.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't sound like it, but I think you're getting off light.
I think so.
If you would like to dump a veteran or two because hey, they're not part of that core seven Rocket fans like to talk about all the time, but you're probably going to have Jalen here. I don't think the Bucks would take him if they had their way. And you'd have Giannis. You have one of Tari or Amen Thompson. And you still have Reed. And obviously Cam Whitmore would get elevated. And we'll see where he is back from the G League in this example, like if the trade happened next week. So it'll cost a lot. And I understand some hesitation for fans if you're like, no, I want to see these young guys grow together because I don't want to give anyone up. But realistically speaking, even if all the guys hit their highest potential, they wouldn't all be here. I know the dream is to be the Oklahoma City Thunder, where you got Jalen, you've got Shea, you've got Chet, you have this core of guys, five or six guys, and you want that here. The Thunder have I won't say they have a small window, but they have a window until they're going to have to start dealing some of those guys just because the cap complications of keeping all that young talent, having to pay them all, hits everyone. It's part of the reason why people hate the second apron, because it prohibits you from building a team that way. At some point, some guys got to go. So, me, I think if you got away with keeping one of Amen or Tari, I'd do the deal. If you trust Ime Udoka and what he can build around Giannis and how this team plays already, they play hard. They get after it. Giannis would fit the mold of all of that. And now you have a legit 32-12-6 type guy night after night after night that you can go to and can be a force on the defensive end as well. These are the trade talks the Rockets are going to be involved in because of the talent they have and the fact that they are willing to make a move. If they were steadfast, like, you know what, we're not interested in all that, then we wouldn't hear this. But people believe they would be in on a Jimmy Butler if he ever, you know, played again and played well. Once he gets back healthy, he may play tonight. And of course, the Kevin Durant thing is something that people believe is their dream scenario. Like, hey, let's acquire a 35-year-old to come play. That I would not be trading Şengün for. That I wouldn't do it, because you can have Giannis at the top of his game for the next 5 years. Kevin Durant's on the back end. He's still very good, but I'm not giving up all that I have for Kevin Durant. So it'll be something to keep track of, as the Rockets have played really good basketball. They are beating up on teams they should beat up on. They pounded the Clippers. They beat up on the Bulls. They made the Bulls quit yesterday. And it's weird to say that. It was after one quarter, it was a competitive quarter, and the Bulls all of a sudden just shut it down. The Rockets got after them in the second quarter, and the Bulls stopped playing defense. They stopped running good offense, and it was the Rockets' runaway. Scored 143 points, I believe, in that one. Fred VanVleet shot the ball well. Jalen shot the ball well. Şengün had his second consecutive triple-double. That's a team who right now knows who they are and knows when they win on the defensive end, everything else gets easy. And when you make a team quit like they made the Bulls quit, even your offense, which has been a question mark for them, can look really, really good. They have now won five in a row. And they see, as I look at the schedule now, they see the Bucks. Speaking of, they see the Bucks tonight. In there, I think maybe, is that the first Rockets back-to-back? No, they had one when they were in Detroit, I think, and came back and beat up on the Wizards. So they go to Milwaukee, and you'll see. I know it doesn't sound great to trade Şengün, but now you get to see Giannis up close and personal this year. If you hadn't seen him, maybe not paying attention to the Bucks. He's still that guy. They're bad. I blame Doc Rivers, but Giannis is still that guy. And you'll get to see him tonight against the Rockets as they try to go for six in a row. Okay, when we come back, we will talk more Texans. I'll give you an injury report on who's in and who's out for tonight as they face the Cowboys. And we'll also get into the NFL week as well, because it was an agenda day and night yesterday. If you like a quarterback, depending on who it is, they played well for a half or didn't play well for a half. If you love Lamar, it was a little rough for you yesterday, and of course the Bills and the Chiefs played, and Jim Nantz went a little overboard calling the Josh Allen play the play of the year. It's a great play, but relax, Jim Nantz. It's a play in the middle of the regular season. the hyperbole was flowing yesterday, but that was a good ball game too, so a lot to get to with the NFL. We will be back.
Duggar. Texas tatted on my arm, got Houston on my back, cause I love the city I'm from. Hands up if you feel that. I ball hard like a Texan, every Sunday you catch me wrecking. Belly fast through them intersections, Coop ain't false because you can't catch it. And they catch them box like Drake do, ball hard like I play to. Run that back like Jake.
Look at AJ.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
I talk about the NFL. This is what he plays. That's a man who's paying attention. But first, we'll get to some NFL stuff here. But first, let's get to, I think that's Southwest Jay. He wants to talk about the Giannis potential trade, which is probably far off in the distance. But we'll see if it happens. What's up, Southwest Jay?
Hey, Dale. What's up, man?
So, man, how are you?
All right. So you got me thinking about this Giannis trade, and I started to wonder if the Rockets trading Şengün would sort of be like the Clippers traded Shea for Paul George. And I don't quite think so, just because Giannis is more of a proven entity than Paul George was. And also, I don't really have an issue giving up the first round pick, because we already have too many young guys that we don't have enough minutes for. And so that's just, we're going to have to get rid of guys anyway. So getting rid of those in a trade, I think it'd be fine. But we got to get Jabari included in that trade somehow. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't even mention Jabari, but that's one who I think, despite where he was drafted, you know, he shot the ball well last night, I believe. But that's a guy I think you would be willing to part with. And it may be someone where the Bucks go, you know what? Yeah, we like a young wing who can play a little D, and we hope can stretch the floor. At the draft pick thing is a good point too. They have a lot of draft picks already. That's why they are in these trade talks. That it could be beyond players. It could be a place or a team that just has draft picks to give away. Well, not give away. You're getting something back, but they have just plenty. How many guys can you possibly draft? They're not Thunder-like with all their draft picks, but the Rockets have accumulated enough where they're not spots for these guys. You talk about this current roster. Where are the minutes? They had to send Cam Whitmore down to the G League. They're not minutes for everybody. When games aren't blowouts, Reed Sheppard is getting at most 11, 10 in that range, and that was a guy people thought could be the rookie of the year until they realize Ime's going to treasure a veteran point guard over anything else. So no matter how poorly Fred VanVleet shoots in certain games, he's still going to get minutes. So, yeah, the Giannis comparison to what the Clippers did is interesting because, as you said, Paul George was a star at the time, but the Clippers were in a different mode. They had to do it according to reports or Kawhi wasn't going to be there. He wanted another guy. He didn't want to be there as the lone established player, and it took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to get it done. Giannis would be the lone established guy in Houston. Everything would fall on him. I don't think Kawhi was looking for that, and you would have to hope the youth and your veteran leaders like Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks were enough. And that's the other thing you take into account. If you make the trade, is it enough? Are you a championship-level team? Because the jokes aside, Giannis and Dame weren't good enough. Now, they got hurt last year, but they started off with a great record, but the team didn't feel like they were championship caliber, so they got rid of Griffin. They brought in Doc, and that team was a first-round exit, partly because, well, a lot to do with the injuries down the stretch. Giannis obviously got hurt, and Dame wasn't his full self as well. So we've seen Giannis with Dame, and it didn't work out. There is no Dame-like player that would be remaining in our hypothetical trade. Is Giannis plus whatever's left enough? Of course, the Rockets have a lot of picks, so they could go make another move too. The thing is, I don't think the Giannis move would be the last one. I think if they're trading away a potential star like Şengün and they would acquire Giannis, they would go get another guy to give Giannis a guy he could depend on as far as an established veteran star. So Giannis would probably just be the first of a couple moves to get the Rockets in contention. But right now, just worry about beating Giannis tonight, and we'll see how that goes. Okay, we'll get to the NFL here before we go to break. AJ will learn that breaks are optional. Well, we still do them, but it just takes me a while to get there. I did want to get to this. As far as the games yesterday, we had several quarterback matchups that people were focused on. A lot of it has to do with people have their priors about these guys, and they want to be proven right. Like, we go to the Sunday night game, everyone who's a Herbert stan, whether that be just fans of the team or like media members who have loved Justin Herbert since the first time they saw him throw a football after that trainer injured Tyrod Taylor by puncturing his lungs. Since that moment, a lot of people have been in love with Justin Herbert. Part of it has to do with comparing him to the quarterback drafted right in front of him in Tua. Obviously, Joe Burrow was in that same draft. Jalen Hurts was in that same draft too. But it's been a lot about comping these guys to one another. And last night we had one of the pair go against each other, and it was a tale of two halves. Justin Herbert was great in the first half. He was awful in the second half. He was bailed out by Mike Hilton drop pick six, potential pick six, Evan McPherson missing kicks, and Joe Burrow lit up the Chargers in the second half. There's something wrong with Joe Burrow's wrist. Beyond the gripping that he's doing now, the ball is coming out funny. Like, the deep ball to Higgins, great, but even some of the balls that he's trying to drive, the balls he's trying to drive down the field, like the second touchdown, the chase, I think. I don't know if that was the one when he wiped the football like it was a baby's ass, but I think that might have been the first one. But the second touchdown, the chase, that ball wobbled there. I don't think Joe Burrow is capable consistently of driving the football. The wrist thing has been a problem since last year, and it looks like it's still a problem, but he played great in that second half. He's played great all year. Credit to him for overcoming the injury. But the Bengals go down, and they're now 4-7. And depending on who you side with, you can take heart and be like, yeah, Joe still has it. Team's letting him down. Or you can say Justin Herbert made a couple big throws late, like the throws to McConkey on that final drive before the J.K. Dobbins touchdown run. You're like, Justin, game-winning drive. You just have to forget about the, let's just say, the first 17 minutes. Let's be clear. They had that one drive field goal to on their first drive, but like the next 23 minutes of game action, he wasn't good. He was awful. He had a run of, I think, 7 incompletions in a row. I think at one point in that half, he might actually in the half itself, he was like, I think he was 5 of 20 or something around there, so maybe 5 of 22 in the second half. He was bad. But the Chargers did enough to not charger their way to a loss, while the Bengals are proving why this season's going to be just maybe a what-if season for them, how talented they are offensively. But they could not get over the hump. And their kicker, who was nails a couple years ago during their playoff run to the Super Bowl, has not been that guy really since. So we got that one. You had the Chiefs against the Bills. As I said before, the Bills winning that game doesn't surprise me, but it doesn't change anything I feel about them. I don't want to be the guy who goes, do it in the playoffs, but this is the Chiefs. And do we expect the Chiefs to not beat them in the playoffs? All evidence says when they see each other in the playoffs, the Chiefs are going to win that one. But you know who loved last night? Emo Amari Cooper. Look at him. Listen to Amari Cooper after the game, after the Bills beat the Chiefs.
Compared to all the other teams you've been on, what's different about this one and this moment right now with the Bills?
I don't know. Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that a little bit during the game. Like, it's the first time in a, like, long time that I've actually felt joy, you know, from winning this game, from, you know, just the way we played, from having so many guys on the team who, you know, are playmakers, and they come up and they show up when their number is called, you know, collectively as a group. It's just amazing. You know, a lot of the guys here, it's just kind of a different place, too. Buffalo compared to some of the other places I've been to. So a lot of the guys, it's a tight-knit group, I would say. A lot of the guys go out together. They hang around each other 24/7, and it truly shows up on the field. It truly does.
You said you were thinking about that.
What did the Raiders, Browns, and Cowboys do to Amari Cooper? The first time I felt joy in winning the football game in a long time. Man, you better put on that emo music and relax. Throw on some My Chemical Romance or something and calm down, Amari Cooper. I thought when I watched the video that he was about to tear up. It felt like it almost, but he held it together. He's happy to be in Buffalo. Look, understood. The Browns, Raiders, and Cowboys ain't exactly been the pinnacle of success. He's had to deal with a lot of losing, and the Browns, his latest stop before he got to the Bills. And he made a nice one-handed catch on one of the Bills' early scoring drives. So he was back and made an impact. The Bills back in the chase for the number one overall seed. Everyone wants home field advantage, but for the most part, you just want someone else to take care of the Chiefs. You know, someone else take care of that, and you deal with whoever beats them, particularly if you can get them at home. Okay, we'll go to break here, and we will get more into the Texans as they have the Cowboys coming up here tonight. Should not be a problem, but it is the NFL. You just never know. But if you think you have a beat on that game, you know where you can go. You can go to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is a website where you can bet, whether it be on the NFL or college football or the NBA. We got games tonight. Bucks, Rockets, you can look at as well. Just check them out. Check out that website and use that promo code BET975. Once you do, just remember, they match up to $1,000. So if you want to put $200 in and get another $200 to bet, that's there for you. 400, no matter what it is, up to 1,000, they'll take care of you there. So whether you're taking advantage of the sports betting or you want to play some games, play some cards, they have that for you too with their live casino. You'll see the cards being dealt to you when you're playing poker and blackjack. Why not take advantage of that? Remember, the website is mybookie.ag. The promo code is bet975. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
This will be a quick one here, so let's get into the Texans and their injury report. Will Anderson won't be out there tonight. Still dealing with that ankle. Foley Fatakasi won't be out there either. He's got a foot injury, and This popped up. Blake Fisher has a concussion, so he won't play. Will Kamar Lassiter play? He is dealing with a concussion, but he was limited in practice on Friday, which gives him the opportunity to potentially play tonight. Apparently, that is more of a game-time decision than anything else. And Jeff Okuda, you can throw him on as questionable as well. So, will they have both those guys available or neither one? We'll find that out a little bit later today. Nico Collins, no problems there. He will be good to go. And something that popped up that I don't think anyone noticed, he's active, but CJ has a right hand issue. It limited him in practice. What does that mean on a Thursday practice? No idea. We just know that CJ isn't injury free. He's going to play. Not concerned about that. I mentioned Joe Burrow and his wrist hand thing affecting the way he threw the football. It was very productive, but you can see things. That ball came out a little funny from time to time. You can see him flexing. I don't believe CJ has an issue to that extent where it'll bother him to that point during the game. But it'll be interesting to watch if he gets hit, which seems likely. Hopefully, it's not as frequent as it has been over the course of the last, well, to be fair, the entire year, but particularly over the last four or five games or so. Hopefully, that's not an issue where he has to deal with a Cowboys pass rush that only has Micah Parsons. But just be on the lookout for that hand and see how he plays through it and see if it gets reaggravated throughout the game. So the Texans' O-line will be the same as it was last time. Will that affect the way they run the football? That was the one thing that came out of that Lions game that I paid attention to. Beyond the fact that offensive line played better, they did give up four sacks. It's the fact that they could not run the ball. Lions team that isn't particularly known for their defensive front without Aiden Hutchinson, and Smith didn't even play. He played for them against against the Jags. And wow, was that bad. The Jags are terrible. They have a bye coming up, so this feels like a time if they want to fire Doug Peterson. You're getting about that time. If you want to make a move in the next week or so, you can do that. He was asked about it, said he wasn't concerned about his job, was just concerned about trying to win games. Well, you're not doing a lot of that right now, and that's why you're likely going to get fired. But just look at the difference between how the Texans played the Lions and how the Jags did. Now, different venues, different environments, but this is a division that they should not be concerned with. It's a bad division all around. The Colts brought back Anthony Richardson, and he played better, had probably maybe his best game as a pro throwing the football and combined with him running it. So they beat the Jets in New York, which also adds fuel to what the hell did the Texans do over the last couple weeks. You lose to that Jets team who lost to a quarterback that just got benched and came back and then also were blown out by the Cardinals, which is actually a good football team. So if we're doing the transit property thing, Texans, if you weren't aware, much better than the Jags. Not that much better than the Colts. Injuries have played a part in that, but their play, I think, is more concerning than anything. They will get healthy. They do get healthy. They should be pretty good if they do. But we're still waiting on a couple of their stars to be back. Nico's back tonight. Will Anderson, is that going to be a week or two more? Ankle kept him out of games last year and is keeping him out of games this year. So that bookend pass rush with Danielle Hunter could be big down the stretch, considering who they're going to be facing. You've got the Pats. I keep saying the Pats. I'm thinking about the Jags because I'm thinking about bad football teams in my head. You got the Jags, and you got the Titans. But beyond that, when you have Lamar and Atua, who's playing well right now, and obviously Patrick Mahomes, you want Will Anderson back and ready to go at some point for those games. Those games, maybe they're not determining whether you're the one seed or not, but they're determining possibly who you're going to be facing in the playoffs and what seeds you are and how many games on the road you're going to have to deal with after your first round game at home if you hold on to this division. So we'd love to have Will Anderson back at some point. Just adds a different juice. As good as Danico Autry can be, having Will Anderson in that threat, not only in the pass rush game, but also his ability to stop the run and cause TFLs, you're going to miss him. Probably not tonight. The Zeke Dowdle combo, not too afraid of, but do have to go out there and do it. So, Texans, Cowboys tonight. I'm excited to watch this team. A lot of noise about them. And it's going to be a lot of that leading up to the game. One of the benefits or maybe detriments, depending on how your team is going, is a lot of attention on you when you have a solo game. And there are going to be a lot of talking heads talking about the deficiencies for the Texans over the last couple weeks. And this is a prove-it game for them. Beyond the showcase of being on national TV against the Cowboys, quieting some of the narratives that are out there helps the team, helps the mental health of the fan base. I think everyone's tired of not performing up to their potential, and they got a shot to put on a show, or at least win it in comfortable fashion against the Cowboys. So, looking forward to it tonight. Okay, we're done with hour one. We'll get into some news regarding the NBA. Big news, if you are worried about inside the NBA, well, there's an answer to what's going to happen to that show in the near future. And we're going to hear some sound from those guys, almost prophetic, about how they felt on potentially going to a new network. So we'll get to that when we come back. We're 1 hour in. We got 1 hour to go. We will be back.